Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome for everyone who's joining us here for our Happy Hour special event. Each week on Tuesday, we get together with amazing guests and have conversations to inspire you and to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Those are posted at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. They're also replayed on hisglory.me. On Thursdays, we take a deeper dive into specific topics so that you can get a broader understanding of the things that our host, our guest, and generally an author is trying to tell us. Over the last 5 years, we've completed deeper dive learning series with pastors Brad Cummings, Doug Van Dorn, and Mike Spaulding. We've completed study series with authors Doug Woodward, Derek Gilbert, L.A. Marzulli, and recently, earlier this year, we did a series with Ender E. Law on the signs of Jonah and Justin Prock on the Bible eschatology. The feedback has been really, really good. And if you missed any of those series, you can find them by going to the education tab at drtenpenny.com, clicking on the tab. There'll be another window that will drop down. If you scroll down to the bottom, it says Bible series. And on that last one, you click on it, a side window will open up and it'll list all the different series that we've had that you can go and you can watch all of them for free. And if you've watched them before, I really encourage you to go and watch them again because they are really worthy of your time. So the first three parts of this series that we've been doing with Kenza Haddock, those are now listed in the same place at drtenpenny.com under the education tab. Scroll down to where it says Bible series, and we have parts 1, 2, and 3 there if you happen to miss them. Today in part 4 of our 4-part series on the enemies of your mental health, we're going to talk again with Kenza Haddock. Kenza Haddock was born in Casablanca, Morocco, and moved to the United States when she was 12. As an adult, God called her after she had a dream about Jesus, and she renounced Islam and became an ambassador for Christ. Kenza is a licensed professional counselor. She's board-certified pastoral counselor. She has spoken at churches and has been featured on multimedia outlets, sharing her story of how God saved her from persecution during and after her conversion from Islam into the belief in her walk with Jesus Christ. Her most recent book, and the book that we've been using to refer to in this series, is this really wonderful book that I encourage everyone to go out and get. It's called The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health, The Devil, The Flesh, and The World, which the devil we talked about in part 1, and then we talked about the flesh in part 2, and the world in part 3. This has been our book that we've been covering things every week. In part 1, we identified strategies of the devil, how he forms strategies against us, and we formed a plan of what to do about it. In part 2, we tackled the warring of our flesh and how defense mechanisms may feel protective, but they really delay healing that God wants to bring us. Kenza gave us a battle plan for learning forgiveness to defeat the enemy's strategy against our flesh. Last week in part 3, we looked at behaviors and personality types that pull us away from the Lord. Here in the last of our 4-part series, we're going to conclude with a discussion on weapons of warfare and what to do about that target on your back. Kenza, welcome back to our 4-part series. I'm sad that this is our last session we're going to have together. It's been wonderful having these conversations with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been so much fun, and I know it's bittersweet.
It is bittersweet.
I'm like, oh.
Well, you know, you want to talk about in this weapons of warfare about targets on our back. I don't know that people even know they have a target on their back. Why do you say that we always do, and how do we identify that?
Yeah, so it's a two-part. So a lot of times we look at this life as, you know what, this is just a playground, or at least act like it's a playground. And in a playground, what happens? You have your guard down, you're just wanting to play, you're just, you know. But the reality is God is not having us here in this life as a playground. I mean, we are referred to as soldiers. We are told that the weapons of our warfare, which insinuate that at least on earth, which we're not citizens of earth, we're citizens of heaven, we are going to constantly be facing one battle after another. And 1 Peter 5:8 says that the enemy is a roaring lion seeking those who he can devour. What's interesting, Dr. T, is the person who wrote this was Peter, right? And Peter is the same guy that Jesus, when they were at the Last Supper, the same guy that Jesus looked at and said, "The Satan wants to sift you. He asked permission to sift you, and I prayed for you so that you don't lose your faith. But when you are restored, go and encourage your brothers." So it's so incredible that once he was restored, and years later, he writes us encouragement, and part of that encouragement is, "Hey, listen, you have an enemy who is after you. You have an enemy who is looking for one way or another to get his foot in the door." And so it's not to it, that's not for, an exhortation for us to live by fear, but we also need to exercise wisdom and discernment and understand that we have an enemy and we have to guard our hearts and our minds. And what I have found is the main place where the enemy gets us is in our minds. Because think about it, we talk to ourselves more than we talk to anybody. I mean, really, we do. And so we have to practice leaving no room for Satan to wiggle his way in. And what I mean by that is we have to watch our thoughts. We have to watch how we talk to ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about how we need to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And what that means, and I believe it was 2 weeks ago when we talked about, look in the mirror. And if you're looking in the mirror and you catch yourself saying, "I'm such a loser," that if you're in Christ, that doesn't even compute, because in Christ, you are not a loser. And so you have to make sure that whatever you're telling yourself is congruent with scripture. One is like, "I'm ugly." So when you hear those thoughts like, "I'm ugly," you have to be willing to combat them. You can't see, spiritual warfare is not passive, it is active. And you have to be active in just using the sword, just like Jesus used the sword of the Spirit when the enemy came after him. When he came after him, he said, "It is written," and he gave him Bible, just the Bible verse. And so for you, whatever your thoughts are that continue to bother you have to make sure to go to scripture, which is the final authority. I don't care if you have been called every name in the book because of your past life. In Jesus, you're no longer those things. You cannot say, "I am X, Y, and Z," whatever you were. In Christ, you are a new creation. Even if you don't believe that about yourself, you have to start saying it over and over enough for that sword of the Spirit to penetrate deep inside your heart and start shifting the way you look at yourself. So if you think, "I'm ugly," tell yourself, "No, I was made in the image of God," according to Genesis 1:26. Tell yourself that over and over.
Yeah, and so you can always tell when it's the target on your back, and it's the say it's those, those devilish thoughts that come into your head that are, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm lazy, I don't have a good enough job, I'll never make anything of myself. None of that is from God. None of
No.
it.
No.
And you're right when you say we talk to ourselves more. Either we talk to ourselves or somebody's talking to us, and it's the, and when they're and, it's, and when we're hearing all that negative stuff, it's somebody that's talking to us and kind of goading us along. And I think it's really important to emphasize that God doesn't put that kind of thoughts in our heads, because like you said, I think in our previous session, we were made in his image. And so is God telling himself that he's ugly and fat and not good enough and stupid and worthless and all that stuff? Of course not. And he wouldn't say those to those sort of things to the children that he loves either.
Absolutely, and absolutely. And that's why I always emphasize spend time with God, because as we spend time with God, we're able to distinguish between condemnation and conviction. Because some people will come up to me and say, "Well, I think maybe God is convicting me." Yeah, that's not how conviction that's not how it works. Condemnation says you are an awful person for doing X, Y, and Z. That's condemnation. Conviction says, "Hey, the way you acted is not congruent to who I made you to be. Let's go and fix it." So condemnation, Condemnation brings you down. Conviction restores you. Yes, it corrects you, but for the purpose of restoring you back, because it's, hey, you behaved in a way that is incongruent to who you are as God's child, and he's going to restore you. And that's why he may say, hey, go and apologize to this person, or hey, go and make it right. There's a huge difference between the two.
Yeah, I think that's a really important distinction. And some people who's ever listened to this, you should write that down. Put that little sticky note on the top of your computer screen there that says, that there's a really difference between condemnation and conviction, because God doesn't condemn you. He's not a condemning spirit. And I think that sometimes we just feel like God's this big, powerful guy up in the sky that's sitting on a throne, and he's got a clipboard on each one of us marking good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, 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 and keeping score like that. But yet he doesn't, because he separates our sins from the as far as the east is from the west, and he only wants what's best for us. And I think that sometimes our vision of God is perhaps through the lens of what our relationship was with our physical father. If
Yeah.
you had a really loving, great dad that, always encouraged you and built you up and played ball with you or played checkers or chess with you or played tennis with you and was always encouraging you to do better when you failed at something, it's like, that's okay, honey. Don't worry. Pick yourself up and just keep going. It's more important to keep going. Don't worry about it. You learn from that. And if you had a father like that as you were growing up, it's kind of the vision that you have of God the Father. But if you had a father that was always putting you down and never spent any time with you, or was physically harmful to you, or always saying you're stupid and you're never going to make anything of yourself, that sometimes that's the lens through which we think our Heavenly Father is like. Have you found that in your practice to be true?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. It is because our brain works out of a frame of reference. And I'm glad you brought that up. And so, if our frame of reference of what an authority figure is, someone who is very critical, someone who is not relational, someone who is scary or distant, then we're going to assume that because God, we call God Father, then he must be like that authority figure who didn't treat me well. And so because of that, we take all of that fear into our relationship with the Lord and start tiptoeing around the throne of grace, when in reality, God is saying, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But we have to be willing to come to him like in full surrender, like with our hands up. How little kids come to us and say, hey, pick me up, just something, in the same way. But sometimes it takes time for us to develop that trust with the Lord and be willing to be transparent with him and talk to him about what's going on with us and bear our burdens on him. It's not that he doesn't know. Of course he knows, but that's how we develop that healthy relationship with him. Because once we talk to him and we understand that, hey, he cares about us. He's powerful and he is holy. And yes, he is a holy judge. In Christ, he satisfied that the judgment that was against us in his mercy, he satisfied it. And so now he does not look at us in condemnation. And to your point, he's not sitting there going like, well, on this day you behaved this way. And sometimes, Dr. T, I think our culture doesn't help because we're such a behavior modification culture, where we're like, okay, you did great, so therefore you're going to be rewarded with this. You misbehaved, and that's it. You're cut off from grace. And it's like that doesn't give somebody a good platform or foundation to build on.
For sure. And with saying that, why is praise so important? And praise no matter what. Why is that important, and how do we use that when we're not feeling very praiseworthy? How do we, praise the Lord when everything around us is kind of turned to mush? And the relationships aren't good, the money's not good, we lost our job, our house burned down, our dog died, I mean, whatever. But yet we are to praise him no matter what. How How does that work, and how do we put ourselves in that position?
Yeah. So when the Bible says to praise God at all times, it doesn't mean we need to deny what's going on and live in denial. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that repressing our emotions is not healthy, or being in denial of our emotions is not healthy. God, there's scriptural basis where God says, come to me and bear your burdens. And as we talk to the Lord and see that, you know what, he is in the details and he is all powerful, we're able to go back to the reality that no matter what's going on this earth is passing away. This earth is not all that there is. And my confidence comes from him. I am confident in the Lord that if he allowed something to happen, he's going to bring something good out of it. I am confident that no matter what's going on around me, I have a God who loves me enough, because I mean, he literally came in the flesh and died on my behalf so that I can spend eternity with him. And so it's not so much I'm gonna praise him and act like nothing is going on. It's when we praise God and we elevate him, everything else that's happening here on earth is no longer, we're no longer pulled down by it, because we're pulled up by the glory of the Lord, because our eyes are back on him. And if you look at the Psalms of David or the other psalmists, they start out with, my soul is in distress, or this person is chasing after me. But most of the time they end with, but I will rejoice in your salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. Because as we pour our hearts out to God, we're able to go back and remind ourselves, you know what? But even if, the Lord is still good.
Wow, that's so important. And it's so important to put ourselves in that position of the no matter what. And I think the reference to Psalms is really a good one. I mean, if you're not feeling so happy today, and you're not feeling so uplifted, and you're not feeling like I would rather really, if God, if you were here in person, I'd really rather dress you down than raise you up, because of our human emotions are based on our circumstances. But instead, to raise it up in praise and be grateful that we're still alive, we can walk. We talked about that a little bit on the last segment, but it's really important to do praise no matter what. And I think that's a good place to take a really quick break. Today we're talking with part four of our four-part series with Kendra Haddock on the three enemies of your mental health. And it says at the top of her book, which I really like, it says, gain lasting victory over the devil, the flesh, and the world. So that's why this little book that has all these questions for reflection and deeper dive sort of things to work things out. Why, when you get this book, you can make it into your own personal workbook. You can go through and you can read what she has to say. Then there's sections for questions on reflection, like, did you know about this? Have you listed different things in this chapter? So this can become your personal workbook. And you might want to go through it once and then next year go through it again. So with that, we're going to take a really quick break. We're going to be right back with more on this four-part series on how to improve your spiritual life by fighting back against the devil, the flesh, and the world for the sake of your mental health. We'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite.
from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several
Go
years.
to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our OptiLine, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And welcome back, Kenza, for this very last session that we're having of our four-part series here. You know, I said in your introduction that you were born in Casablanca. I've been in Casablanca. It's a wonderful place. Morocco is a beautiful country. And so, you know, I know that, you know, you came from there, and a lot of us that are here want to go back over there. So, you know, we never satisfied with where we are, I guess. So with people, you know, one of the things that you talked about is it's important to praise. We were talking about that before the break. But how do people surround themselves with God-fearing people for better mental health and emotional support? I mean, you know, that's a tough one. How do people surround themselves with the right kind of people?
Yeah, so we have to be very intentional when it comes to our friendships. And depending on the season of life you're in, your friendships are going to look different. And I think we as people, we don't like change sometimes. So what I have found is, for example, the Lord may be calling us into a season with a different Bible study group than the people that we did life with maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, but we don't want to change because we like to stick with the familiar. And so we have to be flexible in that, be intentional in our friendships, but also within the context of relationships, we have to be realistic. People are not going to be perfect. People are going to fail us. Now, I'm not talking about someone who is constantly harmful to you. No, but we have to be realistic in that maybe the person that we are in friendship with, they may offend us at some point. And that's why I love scripture. Scripture gives us the guide, the step-by-step guide. If someone offends you, go to your brother or sister and say, hey, when you said X, Y, and Z, it really hurt me. And I would appreciate it if you don't bring that up or say that again. And at that point, if the person says, I am so sorry, because sometimes people don't even know that they have offended us. They don't. And we're sitting here stewing over it. Just go talk to them. They're not going to think you're this awful person. And listen, if you go to that person and they apologize, the Bible says you have won that relationship over and you can move forward. If that person becomes defensive and they refuse to apologize, yes, there's grace in forgiving them, but this does not mean you need to restore the relationship to being as close as you guys were. As hard as that is, listen, as hard as that is, that's when our friendships become harmful. And so, yes, show them grace, but if they refuse to repent for their behavior, especially over and over, you have to exercise guarding your heart, and maybe we need to find better friends, and that's okay. That is completely okay. You're not failing. You're not, if anything, staying in harmful relationships or friendships is not good for you, for your soul, and it's just not good for you emotionally. And so definitely be intentional about choosing friendships and be conscientious about it. And also, I would say in our busy day-to-day life, we have to be intentional about hanging out with our friends. And that's something that can help us not only spiritually in terms of our walk with the Lord and having that person who is encouraging and holds us accountable, but also just emotionally. You know, we don't do well in isolation. And so be intentional. Say, hey, let's have coffee on Wednesday once a month. Because I don't know about you, but if I don't put it on my calendar, it's not gonna work. It's gonna be 4 months later, and we're gonna be like, wow, we haven't seen each other in 4 months. How have you been? So be intentional about that. I know it may sound cheesy. It's like, what? Do I really need to schedule, you know, hanging out with my friend? Yes. I mean, be realistic about your calendar. And so definitely prioritize, number one, your time with the Lord, and prioritize your time with friends, because we are relational beings. We need to have each other. And if you are, I feel like I have to go over this over and over at times. If you have friends that you feel like are not very encouraging, or they're not as helpful to you, start finding other friends. A lot of times what keeps us from breaking away from harmful relationships is not having a support system to fall back on. And so start developing new relationships and new friendships. And I would say another thing that I have found is, please don't put all your eggs in one basket. You can't have that one friend who is everything to you, because the problem with our human heart is it's very prone to idolatry, if I can be just be real with you. And if I have, let's say, a friend who I go to for the same issues over and over, that friend is my first phone call, that friend is the person I bounce everything off with, that friend is the one I go to coffee with all the time. What happens is that I start relying on that friend more than I rely on God, more than I rely on other people. And so what happens is, if that person gets upset with me, or something happens in that relationship, then that's going to affect me in a negative way, more so than it would affect me had it been just, you know, one of my four close friendships.
And where do you think are the best places these days for people to go out and find new people? You know, the knee-jerk reflex would say, well, go to a church. Well, then it's finding the right church and finding the right pastor that's given you the right message. And you know, there's a lot of ladders to climb if you're looking for new friends on places where else they can go to do that. You know, I found that I've been going to the gym lately, and I thought, you know, maybe I'd meet some people there. But when people are at the gym, they're really focused on their workout. You know, and nowadays they come with their phone and a headset, and you know, they're on the treadmill or on the bicycle, or they're even doing the weight circuit or whatever. They've got a headset on and they're listening to a podcast, or you know, a football game, or if it's a bunch of guys or whatever. They're not there for social interaction. They're there to do their fitness workout and go home. So where are some places that you would recommend that people can go and find good friends, and particularly Christian friends, without just a knee-jerk reflex of join a church?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, number one, pray that the Lord will bring good friendships into your life, and just pray and keep your eyes open for that. And also, and I like what you mentioned, it's not always going to be at a church. You want to pay attention to your hobbies and habits. So, and it's going to change depending on the season of life you're in. So, for example, you know, when I was single, I had a bunch of single friends. When I got married, my husband and I, it seems like looking back, we had a bunch of friends who were married, and we hung out, whether it was from they were from his school or from his job or from my job. And so you can develop those friendships at work. You can develop them depending on your hobby. If you like to play golf, you can find friends there. If you take a sewing class, you can find friends there. If you go to church and you're part of a group, you can find friends there. So it just depends on the season of life you're in. If you have children who are in school, there are plenty of mom friends who want to find a good, two or three mom friends they can hang out with and just talk to about life. And so that's something that is very important, especially for mamas out there. They need support and they need to have someone who says, you know what, I know you're having a hard time or you're going through a hard time, and I get it. I understand. Because a lot of times when it comes to friendships, it's not about having someone who's going to fix the problem for us. It's really just about having someone who's going to listen and say, you know what, I get it. And I just want to make sure I preface with this. You cannot be the only listener in that friendship. Make sure it's not a one-way street. Make sure it's a two-way street, because an unhealthy friendship is go it has the potential to just suck the life out of you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because then it gets into some of those personality types, like we talked about in session three about, passive aggressive people and hero worship and, things like that. And so, it's in friendships as in relationships, you need to set healthy boundaries. And there has to be give and take on both sides. It's not you just all giving, and it's not you just all taking. And so it's sort of it's an interesting way that God created societies for us. When you think about that, it's nothing. It's there's a lot of work that goes into it. A lot of work to go into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's like, value clarification can go into that. Some of your friends you're going to share similar values to, and those people you're going to feel more comfortable being more transparent with. A friendship is not going to start out with, hey, my name is this and this is my life story. It's usually going to start out with layer one, and then deeper layer, and then a deeper layer. But at the end of the day, the only person who should have just the apple of your heart or have that space is the Lord.
Yeah, very good. Well, we talked about in a previous session about when do people need to seek professional help? When do they draw the line that they should, seek somebody to sort things out when it's not appropriate to tell your best friend or your mother or your mother-in-law, your sister, those things. But a deeper question is, how does one find a Christian counselor?
Yeah. A good website and resource that I have found is the American Christian Counselors Association. So when you go on there, they have counselors who are both clinically based and biblically based, and they vet counselors. Like for example, to become a member, I had to answer a questionnaire, and they had to see my degree and transcripts, and they needed to see my or understand my perspective of the Bible, and if that matched, then they gave me access to their membership. And so that's a really good one, and you can go on there and just put in your zip code, and they'll give you a list of counselors who are in your area. And when it comes to counseling, one thing that I tell everyone. In fact, we're at a point in our practice, the Lord blessed it so much that we send out a video, and the first video that we send is, hey, listen, you're going to meet with your counselor, but that does not mean you're going to like your counselor, because not everybody meshes the first time. Not everybody is a good match. And so your counselor may have the degree, they may have the theological expertise, but it doesn't mean that you're going to like them. And so don't make that your all in all, and that's it. If I don't like my counselor, I'm going to stop counseling. Go and seek out counseling elsewhere. Go and ask to transfer to someone else. Counselors who are very healthy, and they should be, understand that not everyone meshes well with them. And that's okay, because really, as a counselor, it's not about me. It's about you and helping you become better.
That's such good advice. And I've always said that to patients in my practice when I was going to refer them to particularly a counselor but it could apply to any other subspecialty in medicine. What I would tell them, particularly about counseling, I say, make a commitment you're going to see that person three times. Because the first time, unless they totally offended you and it just was like, oh, I couldn't trust that person any farther than I could throw them across the room. You know, there was just something that you didn't mesh on that very first visit, commit to three and then reevaluate. Because it, you know, the first vision session is really like any other thing. It's a meet and greet. You kind of get to know each other, and you know, are you married? Are you single? Do you have kids? You know, what kind of job do you have? And so it's just kind of a get to know you. And then you need to have a second session. The second session is more like, okay, now why do you decide that you think you want to see a counselor? And you get into a little deeper thing. And then like the third session is when you can really tell whether or not this is a person that you can trust, you can open your heart and your mind to, and that you can go through that with them. And if by the third session, you just haven't clicked, you feel it's real superficial, or you just feel like, I don't know if I could really trust this person, don't give up on counseling. Just, you know, try a different pair of shoes, you know, try something else. It's like when you go shoe shopping, you don't buy the first pair of shoes you put on. You have to try them out. And I say the same thing about when you get a new doctor. If you have a new family doctor, you have a new cardiologist, or you have a new internist, remember to separate the difference between when you see a doctor, the difference between performance and personality. Because the personality, you may love them. You may want to go to dinner with them, go on vacation with them, play golf with them. You may hope that they marry your daughter. I mean, you may really love them. That's personality. But how they treat you, and if they condescend to you, if they try to pressure you into vaccinating, if they try to pressure you into some sort of procedure, or they don't spend enough time with you and you're trying to explain things to them and they're cutting you off mid-sentence, that's performance. That's what you're paying them for, is performance. And if you're not getting your money's worth from their performance, you can keep them as a friend. You can like their personality, but you need to change to someone else that you can interact with. So that's, you know, choosing a medical doctor is this, and you would do the same thing if it was a CPA or a lawyer or a dentist or any other professional. You know, the difference is always keep in mind the difference between personality and performance. And when it comes to counselors, give them a chance to get to know you a little bit, to whether or not you feel you can open up and trust them. And if you can't, you can still like them. You don't have to, like, you know, hate on them, but just isn't the right relationship for me, and go find somebody else. Would you agree with all of that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I would rather 110% have someone who says, hey, you know what? We're not meshing. Can you refer me to someone else? Or, you know, just call another practice and get another appointment. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the counselor, it's not about the provider, it's about you and you getting better. And I like what you said about performance and personality. That is true. And there are a lot of times when it's like there's one over the other, and it's very rare that you find both. But when you find both, you want to stick with that person.
Because you know, it's like, because I've heard it for years in my practice. They're like, but I really like my doctor. Well, okay. But does he force you to try to get a flu shot every time he sees you? Or did he wear a mask and force you to get a COVID shot? Or is he willing to work with you on diet so that you can get off your statin drugs? I mean, that's what you or your insurance is paying this guy or gal for. It's not about, you know, well, I really like them. They're really nice. They treat my kids good. That's great. Love them. Go to church with them. You know, ask them, do you know the Lord? And introduce them to Jesus. That's all personality. And that's all good. But that's not what you're there for. You're not there for personality. You're there for performance and how well they do their job.
So that is so true. And it goes back to it, not wanting that person to get upset with them. Yes. And it's like, it's not about that person, or wanting to please that person, or not wanting to, especially if they go to church with the person, then there's too much entanglement. Then you feel like, oh, now it's going to get awkward. But at the end of the day, yeah, you're right. they get paid for performance. And if their values are clashing, or if that person said, hey, we are not comfortable with X, Y, and Z, and that doctor continues to push or continues to refer to something else, then they're free. I mean, there's freedom of choice in terms of practitioners, and they can just leave and find someone who is more aligned with their values.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
and you don't have to be hateful about it. You don't have to hate on anybody. You don't have to like, read them the riot act. It's just like, this isn't working for me. This really isn't working. We're not on the same page. And when you think about it as a pediatrician, it's really important that you would want this person who's the pediatrician to care for your child if they were really sick. Is this the person that you really, if your child got meningitis or had a bowel obstruction or was hit by, was hit in a car accident and were really critically sick, is this the person and their values and the way that they treat you and the way that they, like they're willing to be open to alternative medicine and alternatives versus thinking that you're just the tinfoil hat conspiracy lady as soon as you start talking about it. So think about that as a pediatrician. Who would you want to be in charge of your child's health when you really need somebody other than just a school physical, that you can just get that from pretty much anybody?
Yeah.
I think that it's real, to end on this in term this this conversation, I think is really important, Kenza, because people have got, this entire series, this entire four-part series has been about giving people tools and methodologies and suggestions for moving forward with their health, their mental health, and with their walk with God. So it's just been so valuable. So so if people have missed the first three sessions or you want to go back and listen to them again, you just go to drtenpenny.com, click on the education tab, and a window will drop down. And at the bottom of the window, it says Bible series. And if you hover over that, there'll be another window that will open up that will show all of the series that we've done. And the first three parts are there. This fourth part will be there shortly. And it's with Kenza Haddock. With Kenza Haddock, The Enemies of Your Mental Health. And please go get this book. Make it be your little workbook that you can work through and really think about things that help you with your with the devil's strategies against you, with the flesh of personalities that are around you, and how to take the t protect yourself from the target on the back of the world. Kenza, we just got a couple of minutes left in this session today. Is there anything else you would like to add to about your book or about that you would like to add to our listeners before we close out today?
The one thing I always say is, which we have talked about throughout the series, is, make a habit of spending time with God and make praise part of your everyday vocabulary. Just make praise part of your everyday. Just get in the habit of praising the Lord. And that doesn't mean you're denying what's going on with you. Of course, the Lord wants to hear what's going on with you and go to Him and bear your burdens and bear what's going on with Him and your concerns, and know that He is there with you. He's in the details of your life. And He not only is on time, the Lord God sets and orchestrates every single step of your life. So He sets the time as well.
Very good. Well, with that, let's have you lead us in a word of prayer before we close out our session today.
Absolutely. Faithful Father, God, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that every single tool, every single seed has been planted on good soil. And Lord, that every single listener, Lord, that's listening right now, I lift them up in prayer. I pray that they would feel your tangible love for them. I pray that they would feel your presence with them. And whatever is going on with them, I pray, Lord, just like you met the woman at the well, that you would meet them there and that you would help them and walk through every single burden with them. And Lord, we love you. I pray for your peace that surpasses understanding to overtake every listener listening right now. And I pray in the coming days and weeks that they would feel joy that is inexplicable, that can only go back to this moment and glorify you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. And thank you so much, Kenz. It's been such a delight to spend all this time with you and get to know you better and to know more about your book and to be prepared with tools of things that we can do as we walk through our life. You know, the series has been a little bit different in terms of really having practical value to the listener and things that you can go back and listen to again and take notes, get the book, use the book as a workbook to go through again, to outline these things. Because a lot of our series are a little bit more serious and, you know, they're end times studies and really Bible eschatology, and it can be kind of heavy in terms of education. But this one, I was really grateful to be able to put together something that are really tools for the times and to keep praise and prayer in first place in your life. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. You guys all know this because you've been following me for a lot of years now. And it's always Romans 12, 12, because it speaks so much to my heart and how we can live our life all the time to rejoice in hope, because the Lord is our hope and our Savior, to be patient in trouble because trouble will come, and to be persistent in prayer because God tells us to pray without ceasing. So Romans 12, 12 is rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. We'll see you at 11 a.m. every day next week. This week with Dr. T on Monday, happy hour with Dr. T on Tuesday, morning coffee, open forum question and answer on Wednesday. We've got throwback Thursdays on Fridays. From the archives on Fridays, and of course this incredible Bible series that will be posted for 4 weeks in a row, and then we'll have another one for you after that. So I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you so much for your time, your love, and your worship in the way that you walk with the Lord, Kenza. It's just really quite a testimony. Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone else for being here. We'll see you the next time. Goodbye, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com, and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.